Welcome back to lesson number 3. This week we are studying Jesus and the Apostles' view of the Bible. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, once more we thank you for the privilege of being able to listen to these lectures. We ask, Father, as we do so this week, your Holy Spirit will come and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, friends, and once again, I welcome and also appreciate your time to understand the Sabbath school lesson. I know you are all busy, but we thank you that you are make use of this kind of study where you and me are blessed. And today we are here to study lesson 3, second quarter 2020. Very interesting and thought-provoking lesson. Jesus and the Apostles' view of the Bible. Okay, so although Jesus is the hero of the Bible, and all the apostles were the disciples who were with Jesus Christ, but how did they view the Bible, or how did they see the Bible? In fact, Jesus and apostles did not live in the New Testament time. In other words, how can I explain? Okay, when all the New Testament books combined, disciples were not there. When Revelation was written, Paul and Peter already were killed. When Gospel of John was written, Jesus, Paul, Peter were not upon this world. Okay, so Jesus or the apostles 100% had the understanding of the Old Testament. Okay, so when we read this lesson, understand this lesson, we have to see in the context of Old Testament. Okay, so Jesus and the apostles' view of the Bible. So Bible, so it is Old Testament at the time. Okay, so let's see. For example, how did Jesus see the Bible? How did Paul see the Bible? How Peter saw the Bible? How John saw the Bible? How did they use the Bible? Or how did they transform God's people through the Bible? Okay, right. Now, let's read the memory text, and I'll go few questions when we'll finish this lesson. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But he answered and said," it is written, it's talking about the temptation of Jesus Christ. Okay, our encounter with Satan. Okay, "but Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Okay, so during the temptation time, Jesus used text. So when Jesus picked up a verse from the Bible, how did he analyze that? How did he view that? How did he see the scripture? And in which context is using? Okay, so we need to understand, how did Jesus make use of the Bible? Where did he use the Bible in a different situation? So also the apostles. Okay, so today I'm going to ask the first question, or discuss the first question: how can we defend the sword? You know, Bible, or in the New Testament, it says, Paul says, Bible is the sword. Word of God is the sword. But in the temptation time, even Satan was using the same word of God and using the sword to defeat or to conquer Jesus. And Jesus using the same sword, which is the Bible, to conquer and defeat Satan. Okay, I hope you are with me now. During the temptation time, Satan is also using the Bible. And the same situation, Jesus also using the same Bible or the same sword. So how can I defend this? So Satan did not have his own sword. Okay, or he used the same Bible, but he misrepresent the Bible, misinterpret the Bible. Okay, misinterpret the sword of God. Even today, many people, in order to prove something, they misuse the scripture. For example, I talked to some alcoholic people. They said Bible permits them to drink alcohol. Okay, where did? Okay, and they showed some scripture in the book of Proverbs. Okay, give alcohol to the people who are dying, lest they will forget. Okay, so they are trying to misuse or misquote the scripture as Satan, because it is so surprised, even Satan using scriptures as the sword. And in order to conquer him, even Jesus was using. So how you can analyze that? How you can justify that? Because we don't understand, we can't shield his attack. If we can't understand the scripture, when Satan used the same sword, we will be conquered. So we need to be very careful how we use or interpret the scripture. Okay. Okay. Explain three temptations briefly. Okay. Explain three temptations briefly. Let's talk about the three temptations. How Satan used the Bible, and how God used the Bible. And in the next questions, we can see how Jesus is talking about the scriptures as well. Okay, so for the first question or second question, we will explain the three temptations. Okay, temptation number one, about the food. About the food. Okay, the first temptation is about appetite. And Satan says, change the stones into bread. And here Jesus responded, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay, so the first question, when Satan used the sword, Jesus using another sword, okay, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay, so how we justify that? And number two, about the world, about the kingdom. Satan shows the kingdom. Okay, bow down so that I will give the whole world. Again, Jesus using scriptures, for it is written. And the third temptation, about worship. About worship. So, if we put all these three temptations together, okay, I hope you are following me. If you put this food, world, and worship together, number one, the priority to the body. Number two, priority to position, which means the kingdom. And the priority to worship or to God. So how Satan is trying to discourage people by using scripture. I'll give a very good example that I encountered. some of my friends are working in hospitals, and they say it is all right to work on Sabbath. How? So they are trying to quote me from the Bible, say, oh, Jesus healed sick people on Sabbath. So it is all right to go and work in the hospital on Sabbath. So they are using, when we say, thou shalt not work, 6 days you shall labor, and seventh day stop, because it is the Sabbath. You have to keep the Sabbath holy. But they say, Jesus healed sick people on Sabbath, so I can work on the Sabbath. Okay, so how do we justify, how do we understand the scriptures? Okay, we have to clearly understand in the view of God, not in the view of man. Because many people read the Bible to benefit their desire, to make use of what they want actually, not what they ought to keep. Okay, hope you understand. So when we read the Bible, we cannot turn the scriptures towards our passion. But we have to repent. We have to turn according to what the Bible says. Many people try to bend the Bible towards what they like to do. We can't bend the Bible. We have to bend ourselves before the Lord. That's what Peter did. That's what Paul did. That's what many apostles did. Even Jesus bowed down and submitted himself to the will of God. Okay, let's go to the next question. Jews and the law. How do we deal with the people who say no need to follow the Ten Commandments based on Matthew 22:37-40? Because many people say, oh, we don't have to keep the Sabbath because Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40. Okay, let's see what the scripture says, because Satan is also using the Bible to attack God's people, but in a different context. Let's read this. Matthew chapter 22:37-40. This is the first great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Okay, let me read from 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So many hundreds of people, in my experience, using this quote and say, we don't have to keep the commandments because love one another, that is enough. Love one another, that is enough. Because Jesus himself says there is no other commandment than loving one another. And in fact, Jesus says, I give a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. So they say, we don't need Ten Commandments. We don't need Sabbath. Love one another is more than sufficient. So they don't want to keep the Sabbath. They don't want to keep the commandments. So how can we justify this? Because the intention of Satan is to tell the people, you can sin, still be saved. You can sin and still be saved. Okay, you remember what Satan told Eve. Okay, right? It says, verse 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. Maybe verse 4. And the serpent said unto the men, women, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat, therefore, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In fact, Satan was telling Eve, you can sin and still be God. Okay, so that exactly in Matthew is trying to say, okay, you can sin and still be saved. So even today people say, we don't need commandments. We don't need Sabbath. Just love one another. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, even dogs in our house love us. Even pets in our house love us. But we have to see, not in the view of Satan, but we have to see the text in the view of God. Okay, let me explain this. Did Jesus say as a new thing? Or Jesus quote from the Bible? Okay, right. Let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Where these two commandments come from? When Jesus says, love your God with all your soul and heart and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Is Jesus saying as a new thing or the same old thing in the Old Testament? Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. So Jesus did not say anything new to change the Ten Commandments or to change the Sabbath, but he is actually saying or reminding them what was already there. Okay, you know, Satan is very cunning to say, okay, love is enough. We don't have to keep the commandments. Okay, because Jesus said, okay, he came to abolish the law, so love one another, that's enough. But Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law, what was said in the Old Testament. Okay, the second commandment, come to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. He says, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, I am the Lord. So Jesus did not say anything new thing, but what was in the Pentateuch, Jesus here referring. And this is how Satan is very cunning and he is changing the context and the essence and the will of God. And the same thing he told Jesus Christ during the temptation, okay, throw yourself down. And it is written, the angels will come and guard you and lift you up and carry you. And he is trying to deceive us. But we have to see the Bible in the view of God. However, I have to explain this question. So what is love? Okay, what is love? Okay, Jesus says in John, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If Jesus says, love your God with all your soul, heart, and mind, what do you mean by that? How can I love God? I can love God by keeping his commandments. Okay, Second John, there is only one chapter. I'm reading verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Okay, so when people say, oh, love is enough, we don't need commandment. Love is enough, we don't need Sabbath. But here, Jesus says, okay, God says here, okay, and this is love, that you have to walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard, from the beginning. Okay, so we need to be very, very careful. Okay, all right, let me go to the next question. Next question, when we talk about Jesus and all the scriptures. Okay, let me read a scripture, then I will ask the question. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 12. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to ask what actually it's talking about. Okay, John chapter 16, verse 12. And also, I'm going to read Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Okay, first John chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. What do you mean by that? What Jesus is trying to say, listen, I have so many things to tell, but I'm not going to say it now. But if I say it now, you can't even bear it. You can't even bear it. What actually Jesus is talking about? Okay, number one, okay, Jesus is talking about two things. Number one, he is talking about Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He is talking about the bruising of Satan's head. And he is also talking about bruising of Satan, his heel. Okay, they don't understand that. The disciples won't understand. That's why he says, I have so many things to tell you, but if I tell you, you won't bear it. And also in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, he says, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell. Okay? And when we read this text, can we omit it as it is fulfilled? Only the event when we talk about it. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, when we talk about Genesis 3:15, when we talk about Exodus 25:8, can we take this out because it is finished in the Old Testament? We don't have to follow it because there is no sanctuary. So I don't have to think about sanctuary. Now the crucifixion is over, so I don't have to think about the cross. That's exactly what Satan is trying to say. Okay, and we have to understand that although sanctuary service was over, but the principle is still there. The principle is still there. Hope you understand me. Okay, hope you understand me. When Jesus says, okay, I have so many things to tell you, but if I tell you, you won't understand. And also Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will guide you into all the truth. Okay, so what actually we are trying to read it here in the New Testament. The whole New Testament is about the sanctuary and about Genesis 3:15. That's it. You cannot go beyond that. Even if you read the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation was based on the sanctuary. The whole epistles of Paul is based on the sanctuary. And the whole essence of gospel is based on Genesis chapter 3:15. So the whole New Testament is about Genesis 3:15 and Exodus 25:8. So we cannot omit anything from the sanctuary and also from Genesis 3:15. For example, I would like to read Hebrew chapter 10, verse 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, so here, when we talk about the Old Testament and New Testament, there is only one thing that we can omit. is the ceremonial law or the Moses law. Okay, we don't have to follow because we are free from the obligation of sacrificing the goat and the lamb. Because now Jesus Christ, he is the sacrifice. He is the ransom for us because he has redeemed us from the curse of sin. So we don't have to follow the ceremonial law. But apart from that, the whole Bible is still inactive. But Satan is using the same sword, trying to tell us that everything is over. We are free. So no need commandments, nothing. But Jesus says, I have so much things to say. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will explain. And certainly when Holy Spirit came, he explains the purpose of Christ's death for you and for me. And this is how we can understand Jesus Christ is in all the scripture. Every meaning of the book, every meaning of the chapter, every meaning of the theology is just one word, and that is Christ. Okay, Christ is the center of the Bible. He is the center of the law. He is the center of Sabbath. So Satan has nothing to do with that. Okay, let me go to the fourth question. How does God affirm that we got nothing to do in John chapter 14, verse 14, verse 30. Let me read that first, then I'll ask that question. Because all these questions in this chapter is based on the text. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 30. 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You see the text. Jesus himself is saying, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. Which means, Jesus says, I'm not going to use the word of God to you now, hereafter. I will not talk much with you. Why? For the prince of this world cometh. Well, who is the prince of the world? It is Satan. And I have nothing in me. So how does God confirm that he got nothing to do with Satan? Okay, he got nothing to do with Satan. He's finished. Okay, he's finished. Let me just give you a thought from the story of redemption, from the book Story of Redemption. When you read Story of Redemption after sin, Satan came, just before sin. Satan came and he just viewed the whole creation and he was so marveled. And he came to Jesus Christ and said, take me back to heaven. You are so wonderful. I just want to come to heaven. Please take me. Sister Ellen G. White says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept and said, Satan, the seed of sin is still in you that may germinate at any time. So you cannot come to heaven. Okay, so even after Satan was cast down to this earth, he tried to communicate with Satan. With Jesus Christ. But after John 14:30, Jesus did not have anything to talk to Satan. Why? How God affirms that Jesus got nothing to do with that? Okay, so that is the Jesus and the origin and the history of the Bible. Okay, so right after that, if you see throughout the Bible, you will see there was a controversy between Satan and God. Okay, but after the death of Jesus Christ, Satan clearly understand he is defeated. For example, if you see Book of Revelation, chapter 12, perhaps if you read from 12, therefore rejoice, Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 onwards, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, O to the inhabitants of the earth, of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. How does Satan know that he has short time? Did he know in the Old Testament time? No, not at all. But Satan came to know he has only short time after hearing Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." It is finished. Okay, so when we try to understand the scripture, whenever Satan uses the scripture, yeah, it is true, it is the word of God. Even when Jesus says about the Bible, yes, that is true as well. But Jesus is using the exact sense of the will of God. But Satan is trying to misrepresent and misinterpret the Bible. Okay, so that's what we have to understand. Okay, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, Jesus refers to a quote written by Moses. But Jesus makes this passage and says, "He who made them at the beginning said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother." Instead of saying, the scripture says, or Jesus says, "He who made them at the beginning said," attributing to the creator word, what the narrator of Genesis wrote, God is in fact regarded here as the author of his statement, even though it was written by Moses. So when Moses was written, okay, when God is using that, he did not use Moses said it. He's just seeing because of this, because the scripture says, okay, because it is written. So Jesus is using the Bible as not written by people, but written the word of God. Hope you understand that. Okay, my last question here in this lesson. So let me try to recap if you couldn't follow me. Okay, the question number one, how can we justify when Satan tries to use the scripture in order to omit some of the scriptures? For example, as I said, the three temptations Satan is using. So how we can justify that? And the second question we saw, you know, Satan is trying to use some scriptures so that we don't want law and Sabbath. So how do we justify that? Okay, and the third question we said, when Jesus says, "You don't understand now because you won't bear it if I say everything." And how we can understand Genesis 3:15 and Exodus 25:8. Okay, and finally, we saw that how does God affirm that Jesus got nothing to do with Satan? Okay, and the final question is, how it is important is to know the Old Testament in order to understand the New Testament. Okay, how it is so important to know the Old Testament in order to understand New Testament. Without understanding the Old Testament, we can't understand the New Testament. And without understanding the New Testament, we will never know the reason for the Old Testament. So basically, the Old Testament and the New Testament is so important. Why? Because New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and events. Okay, so we can't divide New Testament and Old Testament as a two different entity. Old Testament is what the Lord said, and New Testament is the fulfillment of what God said in the Old Testament. Let us understand that. You know, one scholar has compiled a list of 2,688 specific references. What is this specific references? Okay, let me bring it. Okay, the New Testament writers uniformly rely on the Old Testament as the Word of God. There are hundreds of quotes in the New Testament from the Old Testament. Okay, let me put it in this way. Almost all the New Testament writers wrote based on the Old Testament scriptures. So one scholar dedicated his life to bring it out. Okay, so one scholar has compiled a list, 2,688 specific references. Okay, for example, in the New Testament, 400 from Isaiah was used. In the New Testament, New Testament writers used 400 references from Isaiah only, and 370 from Book of Psalms, and 220 from Exodus, and so on. Okay, so how it is so important to know the Old Testament in order to understand the New Testament, because one thing is very clear, all the New Testament writers did not write the New Testament books as a separate new entity, including Jesus Christ. Jesus cannot be exempted in that. Even Jesus used Isaiah. Jesus used Daniel. Okay, so including Jesus Christ, Paul, John, okay, all these people used the Old Testament in order to make us understand what is the fulfillment of the Old Testament through New Testament, so that we can understand the clear-cut information about Jesus and the apostles in the view of the Bible. Okay, so Jesus and the apostles did not see the New Testament, but they saw the Old Testament, and they wrote it along with the fulfillment of it. Okay, all the epistles of Paul were completely based on the Old Testament or the Jesus' death. So I praise the Lord, when we try to read the Bible in the view of Jesus Christ and the apostles, certainly we will understand not only the Old Testament, but also the New Testament. Father in heaven, thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful time. You helped us to understand how it is so important to know the Old Testament in order to understand the New Testament. Continue to speak to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.